What's up, party people? It is Monday, May 27th, 5:31. You are listening to 90.1 FM KZFR. At this point in time on this radio station, it can only be one thing. Talking about practice is next. But before we do get to that, we gotta thank our sponsors because this show ain't free. I mean, we're free. But the building and everything else is not free, so you gotta help pay for that. I appreciate the internet for doing so. Happy Memorial Day to everyone out there. All our service men and women who are with us and the ones who aren't in particular, we owe debt of gratitude. None of us never pay back. We appreciate everything you all do. Hope you all enjoy your Memorial Day. Interesting one here in Chico. It's kind of cold. Memorial Day is our summer, you know. We want a hot. I want to be able to put a tank top on. Have the guns out, you know. Sun's out, but it ain't happening. Sun just came out. Again, back to the other one. That's important stuff. Talking about practice is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by Grid Alternatives, installing solar power in underserved communities at no cost to homeowners since 2011. Serving Chico and the surrounding communities, Grid is the nation's largest nonprofit solar installer, providing benefits for both homeowners and the environment, while training workers for the solar industry. Please call 530-217-6115 or visit gridsolar.org to see if you qualify. Also, talk about practices made possible by generous contributions and by KZFR supporters and by Advantage Insurance Services. Local independent insurance broker Dave Dalton can provide for all your insurance needs. Advantage Insurance is a proud supporter of KZFR and can be reached at 342-0540. For quarter more information, visit AdvantageInsuranceChico.com. That's right, y'all. Talk about practice starts right now. Not a game.
Coming forward, it's
Violence Coordinator,
domestic violence.
Exactly. And then their heads are stepping down and all that. So,
yeah.
So how does it look for Husky?
It's kind of sad because we're seeing more and more of these coming out. I do find it disheartening that we have such people in high positions in all these institutions that are really taking advantage of them. And I feel sorry for those people that are really having to go through that because it's, you know, just kind of showing like, there are a lot of dirtbags out there, man. Like, God, men are disgusting.
Right. Well, and you think about these parents making a decision with their kids on where to send your kid. Me, I'm thinking as an athlete, as someone, you know, getting a scholarship, going to one of these bigger schools, yeah, you want their kid to play. You want, you know, them to be, you know, broadcasted and be seen and get a good education. You never think in your right mind, like, I got to watch out to send my kid to the right school so he doesn't get taken advantage of or she doesn't get taken advantage of. I mean, these kids are coming in at 17, 18 years old. Most of them, I mean, if you're a D1 athlete, most of these kids aren't in state. You know, they're coming from across the country. They have no support system, no friends, no family. And these people are taking advantage of them, and it's really, really sad.
It is kind of funny that, like, I'm going out of college, but I might be touched inappropriately. But I am a coach or something like that. It's, and granted, women have this in their minds at all times, and we're just now being exposed to it. So, we're not privileged, man. But I just want to say, very heavy-handed topic to start with.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I just want to, like, I feel like we need to actually talk about it.
It does,
you know, address it. It can't be just swept under the rug, and I feel like us as media could talk about it now. Yeah, it could have been put more in the middle, but I think it needs to be put in the forefront, in my opinion.
Granted, we have zero solutions for this right now.
Yeah.
Other than just don't hire those people, but I think that's easier said than done, obviously, because these guys keep getting high positions.
Ohio State knew about it throughout the whole entire thing. Throughout the whole entire time that he was the trainer, they knew what was happening.
It was like, this is exactly like Penn State.
Michigan State knew these women came forward, same with the men, but they didn't do anything.
But that's the problem with these schools.
I mean,
these
schools need to do something.
The institution are making, you know, crazy, ridiculous amounts of money off these kids and their programs. Why would they ever, you know, I mean, obviously it's an ethical issue here, but I mean, it's just not a shocker to me to see these big conglomerates hiding these disgusting cases because
they're going out of the pocket.
Yeah,
and
that's
exactly
what I said. No matter what, no matter what school you go to, the only color people see is green in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And you're screwed otherwise if you don't have it.
Yeah.
Moving on, because there were sports that were played.
Yeah, let's get more. Yeah,
let's back up here.
More. Yeah,
that's it. The NBA Finals has been set. Toronto is in the NBA Finals. That's weird. For Kyle Lowry. Kyle Lowry is playing in the NBA Finals right now.
Which I mean, he didn't play too bad last year.
I think there was a really great situation at the end of the press conference when he asked what's different that changed it. But I was like, yeah, you got rid of DeRozan. You got Kawhi.
Yeah.
Like, straight up, that's
the only thing that he knew.
Yeah, he's
like, he looks over at
Kawhi. And obviously, Kyle can't badmouth his boy because DeMar DeRozan's his boy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we all know one guy's loving his name, the other one.
I was sitting with Drew, and we both thought at the same time, like, man, DeMar is on the couch somewhere, just living.
He is crying right now.
He is so crying.
Yeah.
Okay, one more. Do you think, I tried to have this discussion with Drew, he shot it down right away. Do you think DeMar could have, with LeBron out of the East, do you think DeMar could have
gotten out of
where they are?
He's a kind of like, support player, he's the number two, number three guy.
But he's a good defender. Obviously, he's not the two-way player that the Kawhi is.
Kawhi is, like, slight years better than DeRozan is. Like, the fact that DeRozan was the best player on their team, and you have Kawhi, and it's like, oh, that's what a best player is supposed to look like. Like, Kawhi. Yeah, he's, like, the best player in the league right now. DeRozan's like, DeRozan's a top 15 talent.
Yeah.
But the gap between, like, four
and what Kawhi is top five.
Top two.
Are you saying right now or in the entire NBA?
In the entire NBA right now. You cannot say that Kawhi Leonard is not a top three person. I'll say top three. I'll give you top three right now.
Is LeBron already better than LeBron, better than Durant, better than Curry?
LeBron, Durant, Kawhi. Curry is great. He's a fantastic player, but I think if you put him number four, because of his size, I mean, you would put Kawhi Leonard on Steph Curry one-on-one, then Kawhi Leonard is shutting that boy down.
I think Durant's not saying that Steph's not a franchise player.
No, he is.
He's just not the best.
At the same point in time, though, the gap between four and the rest of the league, seen them witness it through the finals. I cannot wait for them to lose them. The way that the city of Toronto reacted to said win, I was like, I know you've never been there before, but it's called act like you've been there before for a reason. Just be like,
you know, the Canadians.
There was 19,000 people in Jurassic Park cheering all over Toronto. That's what they call it. I think it's dumb, but they're a college team, remember that?
That's what they're saying. Yeah.
Drake, yeah.
I mean, apparently, on all accounts, in Canadian fashion, no arrests were made during that riot on the street, which is
impressive.
Actually, the opposite
of what happened with one of my coworkers today. We were talking about it. He's like, you think they're going to riot in the streets tonight? I was like, really going to kick a garbage can over and recycle? Going to sort the garbage out of the recycle.
And then, yes, if you're talking,
the headlines of the paper is riot happened. It's left city cleaner than it's ever been.
Canadian, what a story. Well, that's Canada for you. They do it in fashion. Congrats to y'all. I mean, do you really think they do have a chance? I think they have a decent chance.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
In the finals, because
it's not just coming up. Starts
up. Some betting a little bit.
Yeah.
So the Warriors are -300. Average or minus around 3. I've seen it at 325, -325. For the series, which, to put in perspective, the year that they won the 73 games, going against the Cavs, they were at -210.
Okay.
And that was supposed to be a huge, heavy favorite. So they, on some sites, they're over 300. Usually the tip of average I see has been around 300, which is insane, which pretty much every Vegas sports book is not giving Raptors a shot in hell to win this series. But the first game is really interesting. Durant, obviously, going to be out. Maybe out for two. So they have the spread at 1. Let me get your guys' opinion on that. -1 for the Warriors. Do you think that's on the road.
Yeah.
Do you think that's fair? Or?
I mean, the fact they're still favorite on the road is kind of, you know, that should, even though they've been, except doing it wise because they didn't have the best record, Toronto had a record for them. But, I mean, the team that they have, they don't have Durant, they don't have Boogie's questionable. Everyone else is kind of coming to play right now, but at the same time, this is going to be. I can't wait for this finals match.
I really am interested for it. I mean, a lot of the cast talking about the last series with the Warriors and Kawhi was in 2016, I believe.
Spurs game.
When
I saw this house, like, all the years are open. I know which one you're talking about.
But they're up 30. The Spurs are all the Warriors. And Kawhi goes down, and then that series is over. And they haven't really seen
the series to see how they respond to having Kawhi in there. I would love to see the Durant-Kawhi matchups. I really do hope Durant comes back for it, because that's just good basketball. I think any basketball fan wants to see that happen.
What do you think is the X factor in that series for the Raptors? I mean, how do you see them winning that series?
They got to have everyone else, the role players, step up. Look what Fred VanVleet did. Siakam played incredible in those games. So we'll be interested to see how those guys respond to the situation. Granted, this is all their first time beating them. Kyle Lowry may actually be an all-star player. Looking into the fold right now, Jarrell Gilbert, he's on the show now.
I've been here the whole time. So we're going to let Derek mention that Kawhi's a top two player in the league. And then when he mentions the top three, it's LeBron, Durant, Kawhi. No one's going to call us.
I said top two. You just missed out on it. I said,
I'm sorry. I thought you said top two.
Okay. So, great. I will probably say LeBron, taking a little bit of a step back. I think at this point in time, Durant and Kawhi are kind of in that place where they can take over. You know, there's like
seven. No one was saying that before the Sixers series.
Before the Sixers series.
What he did in that Sixers series. Well,
I think we also need to take into account that we haven't seen Kawhi play in, what, a year and a half? Since Zaza stuck his foot out and the Spurs were up 26, we saw him play 3 games, I believe. 3 or 6 games, something like that, for the Spurs. That wasn't a lot. And Kawhi's been a huge difference maker for that team all season long. I mean, that play he had earlier in the season when he had his back turned and he just dove on the ground to stop a bounce pass was one of the craziest defensive plays I've ever seen. That guy's been unstoppable. And yeah, we haven't been talking about him, but I think we need to take into account that none of us have really seen him play lately. So,
yeah, that's that kind of situation. But the guy is legitimately showing up this entire postseason. The way that he is carrying this Toronto team has been amazing. It's been amazing to watch.
So, I heard at the beginning of Luka Doncic's futures, I'm confused. How are the Warriors such heavy favorites when they have two perennial All-Stars missing the first, at least the first two games?
And they're on the road the whole series. Or the whole,
Booker, you're referring to Boogie as well. As
yeah.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, DeMarcus Cousins really in sports books right now, and Vegas is not taken into a factor. I mean, he hasn't been there all playoffs. They don't anticipate his return really to be substantial in the finals. Obviously, Durant is a heavy weighing factor, but he's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, but Durant is, according to Derek, the second best player in the league, and I'm just confused as to how they would be such heavy favorites. I guess experience.
Well, that's on the entire series. That's not just on game one. That's on the entire series.
Understood, but still.
First, you're anticipating Durant's comeback at least game three.
Hopefully
game three.
Right. Well, they said if they go down in the series, they're going to bring him back.
So if they don't go down in the series, he's not going to play at all in the finals.
I mean, why would you need to if you're going to win at all without him? Well, I think if he's healthy enough to play, he plans. I don't think there's any doubt about it. I think the Warriors are very thin this season. I think they're more vulnerable than they have been, and that's including the 2016 when they lost the finals, and Derek and I ended up taking over this time slot. Shout out to our man, Jake. But I think their bench is very thin this year. I mean, we have seen players like Alphonso McKinney getting big minutes in the playoffs. Exactly. Quinn Cook, who has had some moments. But in general, I think going back to the point about they're minus 310, you're saying, in some sports books?
325.
That's insane to me. Because, yes, they have the experience. This is their fifth straight finals appearance.
Yep.
And so I understand all that. However, I feel that this has been one of the easier roads to the finals the Warriors have ever had. Granted, they did play Houston, but Houston just did not show up. In that game six, they should have done something.
Whose fault is that?
No, that would be their fault. Let's give Steph Curry credit. The games he played from game six, the last five games he's played have been insane. Well, last 4.5, because let's remember he had 0 points in that game six in the first half, and then he came through with 33 in the second. But he's been on fire. Other than that, they've been playing well. But Portland was, they were overmatched to begin with.
They got burnt down on that Denver series, and Oklahoma stuff was all
yeah. Bad, yeah. And they just, I mean, great for them, but what are we talking about? We're talking about Denver, Portland, or Oklahoma City was guaranteed to make it to the Western Conference Finals. I don't think any of us had any type of real feeling that any of those teams had a shot of making it to the finals. It was going to be Houston or the Warriors, right? So my point being is I'm surprised that the books are what they are. And obviously Vegas knows that if they set it more realistically, that heavy money's going to come in on the Warriors. So, of course, you're going to set it like that, but it's still that minus 325 is insane. So can you explain that to the non-betting audience, what minus 325 means?
So minus 325 would be you would have to put up $325 to get roughly $100.
Yeah.
And most books would probably be like $98.
And that is, I would love to know, all-time finals, that's got to be pretty high up there as far as heavy favorites.
I mean, that's high up for
any sport.
Any sport.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's a pretty big guy.
And they don't have home court, right?
Exactly.
That's insane. What are we talking about here? That is a big story. I didn't know that information until I heard it listening to you guys on the way in, even though I was already here the entire time. I'm surprised to see the number that big. But, again, this should be a really entertaining series. I think it's going to be really interesting how the Warriors depth comes into play, because obviously the Raptors, you guys mentioned it, have a very deep bench. They
can get their plan very well right now.
Yeah. So
even Kyle Lowry's playing, which is like crazy. Like, I don't know if it happened. Kyle Lowry played well.
What? I appreciate John. You're still trying to hold on to your DeMar DeRozan was a pretty good defender. time. How is Drake getting a post-game press conference? Did we talk about this?
No, we have not. No.
Can we talk about this?
We also have the trophy ceremony as well.
Yep. Has there ever been a more annoying ambassador for a franchise?
It used to be Spike Lee.
It used to be. He was annoying every day.
He never reached that point.
He never reached that point. Yeah. Well, first of all, let's talk about this. Spike Lee sits on the opposite side of the bench.
Yep.
Okay?
Yep.
So he sits on the opposite side of the opposite side of the floor of the bench. So he's not interacting with the players and the coaches. If they come to his side, he's clapping in their face. Reggie Miller's giving him the throat slashing thing and all that, or the choking symbol and all that. I get that. But Drake, man, first of all, the curse of Drake is real. Even Drake admitted it with wearing the 76ers shorts under his pants the other day. He is so annoying, man. He is so talented, and he is one of the most corny dudes out there.
Now, is he going to be wearing Golden State Warriors stuff for this series?
He has a Kevin Durant tattoo.
Wait, what?
A Steph Curry tattoo. Yes,
wow.
He does.
Okay.
So,
Drake as a kid in high school was not very cool, so now that he's, like, really big,
he's on the grass so hard. When he was in a wheelchair in high school,
yeah,
he was on the grass.
I forgot. I'm sorry.
Miracles do happen, guys. Yeah, shouts to Jimmy from the grassy.
He really made a comeback.
And the biggest of ways.
All right, that's the last series.
Mm-hmm.
Warriors Raptors.
Mm-hmm.
We had a Raptors in the playoffs.
Okay.
Derek, you really
you really
pooed the bed last week.
Oh, I thought we'd go another one.
Yeah, no. Derek went 0 for 2.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Bringing him to 9 and 5.
Mm-hmm. Might have a chance.
Brad went 1-1, bringing him to 9 and 5.
All right. He don't.
Well, at last. Last, you know, last, you know. Terrell at 1-1 for 12-2. Now at 2-0 for 11-3.
Right on, man.
All right. I'm just going to have to take, even though I'm a Warriors fan, I'm going to have to take the Raptors just to beat Terrell.
Yeah, I do.
So I'm going to take Raptors at 7.
I mean, I got to go Warriors, but yeah, I don't like that you're picking against me. I'm nervous about this series, man. I really am. I really, really am. This is scary.
What's your prediction? So Warriors.
Warriors at 6. I'll take Warriors at 6.
Right.
Wait, what did you say, Derek?
I didn't say anything.
I thought you said Raptors. Okay.
I didn't say anything.
Okay. I'm going to go Warriors.
Right.
And 6.
Raptors at 6.
Wow. Well, here's the thing. There has to be somebody on last place.
If you're only one.
Yeah, exactly. I just really hope. I don't know. It'll be really interesting. Can I talk about things that are annoying to me when it comes to the NBA? Why do we always have to look ahead to the offseason? The transaction has become so much more interesting and talked about than the actual games. And I'm still a person who loves to sit around and actually watch basketball and not just talk about rumors. And all we've been talking about all season is where's KD headed? What are the chances that the Raptors can retain Kawhi? What do they have to do to retain him? All this, can we just enjoy some hope? And then we'll see what happens this summer.
Unfortunately, we can't because this is reality TV for us guys out there.
You know,
we all love the drama.
Like, that's what it is.
You know, we
love drama.
And people from letters have done a good job of making sure that we're always entertained, no matter the time of year. There's always some show for them to talk about some ridiculous hypothetical situation.
It's just been, it's been all season long we've been talking about where Kevin Durant's going. Now, it seems pretty clear. I would love if KD just re-ups with the Warriors and just does another 1-1 situation. Not because I'm a Warriors fan, just because it would be great for all the talk. I mean, I would love if ESPN would calculate all the hours they have spent this past season talking about where he went and then, or where he's going to go, and then he goes nowhere. I think that would be hilarious. Clay Thompson, if he re-ups, that's going to be hilarious.
I think with him not getting All-NBA, that's going to probably keep him there, because he lost about $30
million.
It
actually makes it easier for another animal. Yeah. So the Warriors still retain his bird rights.
Yeah.
So they can pay him more than any other team can.
Yeah.
But that $30 million actually, in a sense, hurts the Warriors. Because that $30 million was $30 million that they could offer him that no one else can. It makes the playing field a little more even, but they could still offer him more money. But it does, it, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
So, but it could go back up to what
it can't,
or whatever.
It can't hit the he can't get the supermax anymore.
Okay.
Yeah, without making an all NBA team, he can no longer get the supermax.
So, okay.
He can still get maxed out, and someone's going to do it. The Warriors are for sure going to offer him the max. I'm sure the Lakers are going to offer him the max, and a couple other suitors will probably jump in there. Miami comes to mind, but the Knicks just seem so thirsty.
I was thirstier than the Knicks or the Lakers.
Oh my God, what a great first take question.
Right.
Embrace debate right here.
Let's do this.
Who is the most thirsty? Oh, I mean, you got to think. I mean, oh, that is such a good question. That might be the best question you've ever asked, Eric. And here's why. Here's why it's such a great question, if I can, real quick. Because the Knicks are NBA's mecca. They play in a mecca, right? And if you've ever been to New York, I've lived there for a little bit. They are hoop heads out there. They love themselves some hoop, and they love the Knicks. And the Knicks have been, minus a couple years, horrible for 30-plus years. And so I just almost feel like they're just used to being bad. Where the Lakers, it wasn't, what was it, 2010? The last time y'all won a championship?
Yeah.
So it was only a decade ago, and people in the Lakers fans and people around the Lakers are acting like the sky is falling, which is hilarious to me.
The Laker fans were like the dude that's still like, I can't live without you text to that girl that they broke up with right now. Like, I can't. Like, the Knicks are like, oh man, I wish I kept her, but like, ah, whatever. I was moving on. I'll find somebody else.
So the Knicks are the guy that the dude who's 50 years old and dated the hottest girl in high school. And he's finally starting to realize, like, yeah, I used to have it, you know.
I mean, I'm never getting out of here. Like, at least I had it at one point. Lakers are like,
the Lakers are going to charge them more from a dime. You know what I mean? Like, they just broke up with a dime piece, and they're not handling it very well. The Lakers just bought a Corvette. They have a mustache. They're going out to clubs at 40 years old, where I feel like the Knicks have kind of accepted their fate a little bit more. So, you know, that's where we're at.
Well, either way, the thirstiest level on both teams. I think the Lakers are. I really do.
But which is insane because y'all have an all-time great on your team right now. Is that not crazy to anyone else? The Lakers are dying to be relevant again, and it's like y'all have the best player in the league right now, and possibly, arguably, the best player of all time.
And the best coach now. Yeah. You're the best coach.
Frank Vogel. Oh, you met Jason Kidd. Johnson's response, the best I remember it, was, no, just Rob.
It's all on him. Which is, like, unbelievable. In any workplace environment, you always hate your boss, right? And not hate your boss, but you always have some
crush. Animosity.
There's always two in the heads, but either way. Lakers, first to be on belief. Knicks, start winning.
Well, I feel like, and you are a heavy Lakers fan, obviously, lifelong Lakers fan, growing up in the L.A. area. I feel that you guys, especially people your generation, anyone who, from the 70s even, it's almost a birthright that the Lakers are going to be relevant.
Yeah.
And for the past, when did Kobe retire? 15? 16? 15.
Something like that.
Since he's retired, y'all haven't done anything.
I mean, even when he was on his last couple of years, he did nothing. So we haven't been doing anything for quite some time.
Yeah, it's been a while since y'all have been good.
They made that one movie at LeBron, and then there was nothing else.
Nothing else.
And how? That was not enough.
So, I don't know.
far as player empowerment. And now LeBron is showing up at press conferences to introduce a new coach, which has never happened before. And it is obvious that LeBron is doing his best not to get traded, which is insane to me.
Can I repeat that sentence so our audience can fully digest that? LeBron is showing up at press conferences to introduce Frank Vogel. I will repeat that part. LeBron is showing up at press conferences as the Lakers introduce Frank Vogel as the man in charge in order to earn some cookie points and not get traded.
I really feel that Frank Vogel is like the lowest coach LeBron's ever played for.
That actually sounds about right.
I mean, Tyronn Lue, Mike Brown, Pat Riley, Spoelstra, Eric Spoelstra.
He had David Blatt, but David Blatt came from a lot of European glory. But we're Americans, we really give a damn about what you did overseas.
We're not real basketball. No, I can't even, Americans can't even name the country coached. You know what I mean? So,
was it like it was a Jewish team, like an Israeli team?
I thought it was Latvia, so
point to me. No, I think you're right. I think you did teach.
Yeah, no, coach.
Yeah.
Whatever he did. He did something.
They probably call it teaching opening.
Yeah, they really call it, yeah.
I don't know what to do.
He's a health teacher. Headmaster in charge. Oh, man. This is fun, though. This is going to be really interesting. I think the way the next few years play out for LeBron are incredibly critical for his legacy, and I hate legacy talk when a player's still playing, but we've seen the 8 straight finals appearances. He took a team that had no business beating the greatest regular season team of all time. They had no business winning that series. They were down 3-1. He came back, and he stamped his name as an all-time great right then and there. He was already one, but then he was really vying for number one overall, right?
Yes.
And now he's on the Lakers, the Showtime Lakers. Magic Johnson steps down in embarrassing fashion. The Lakers seem to be a mess, and now he's showing up at press conferences. If they trade him, and if the Lakers have the balls to trade him to New Orleans,
that would be beautiful.
It would be such a disastrous ending to LeBron's career. It would be incredible to watch.
Speaking of disastrous legacies, I'm moving off.
Yes, I do.
Aaron Rodgers, your legacy is completely torn up.
Yes.
Shut up here.
And you have a tiny seatbelt, fam. Hold on
a second.
Yes.
You have let each and every one of us Chico residents down, my friends.
Especially the locals here.
Those ones are fine.
Yeah, those are the only ones left. Everyone else has left. All the kids have left, which is amazing. This is
they're beautiful.
But, yeah, Aaron Rodgers, so that's a little background, right? So during, was it game 6?
It was game 6.
Yeah,
it was
last game.
Game 6.
Bucks.
No, they were game 5.
That was game 5.
Game 5. Okay.
They're in Milwaukee.
Okay. Yeah. So game 5. Bucks. Bucks Raptors. They're in Milwaukee. David Bakhtiari, he is their offensive lineman. Or is he?
Yeah, he's their
offensive lineman for Green Bay. The camera goes to him, and he drinks a beer.
Drinks two of
them. Like an offensive lineman.
Two of them.
It's hard to explain. It's kind of like how a pelican just, like, picks up a fish, and you see that initial, they lift it up, and then the fish is gone. That's what he did with beer.
Two of them.
God. And then
it went to Aaron Rodgers.
And then the camera pans over to Aaron Rodgers, who sips on a beer, drinks it about maybe two-thirds of the way down, and then sets it down.
It looks like he's struggling the entire time.
He's sitting on it.
The whole time he just like, I don't
know. I don't think he goes on his social media too and says, switch it with scotch and then we'll talk.
He's like, definitely not shooting scotch.
If you can't down a shot of scotch, that's pretty pathetic. But I'm it's a shot.
You have 4 years holding a glass of scotch. That's disgusting.
We're talking about beer chugging here. Aaron Rodgers, get better.
And then Christian Yelich, later in the game, gets shown on the Megatron as well and chugs it. And Aaron Rodgers kind of like, whatever.
You look like a fool.
Yeah. With your brother. Figure that out. Sorry.
That's a reality show.
I think it was called The Bachelor.
yeah,
least have a good showing. It's like, I mean, the dude who gets blown out by Usain Bolt, it's okay, at least don't run like a sub 11. You know what I mean? And Aaron Rodgers was running a 13 second 100 yard dash.
In the Olympic meters final, right there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It was bad.
It was terrible. Rodgers, like I said, is tarnished here. And you can't yourself a Chico if you can't check a beer like that.
No.
You know, we have like light pass for winter or something, or no blocking, you know? Like,
I was going to say, what do you think they were drinking out?
Yes, a walk.
Oh, no walk.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's some light stuff right there.
Push.
It would have been great if Aaron Rodgers came out and was like, I was drinking a hazy IPA.
Yeah.
That's more understandable. Like, those things are like, yeah, you don't chug
those.
Yeah.
You sip on those.
Yeah. Yeah. That would just... I'm
trying to give them one you could use. You know,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Guys, it was a 10.5.
IPA.
Yeah. My IBUs and that thing. Like, 5 IBUs, okay? Before we move on, I haven't been here. I was obviously in studio, just kind of running around. I've been listening the whole time. Can we talk about some things that I'm learning? And I would do the, you know, what really grinds my gears, drop, but I don't have it. So, you know what really grinds my gears? Three of us here, myself, John, Derek, we all work in bars. Now, as most of you know, big money days for bars are holidays. Because most of you are not working, and most of you would like to tie one on a day off. Is that correct?
Yes,
correct, great. People who call a bar on Memorial Day and ask if we're open, my response to you is, do you call a bank and ask them if they're open till 2 a.m.? And of course we're open.
There it is.
That just
demolition. You should know better, people. It's a restaurant time.
Yeah.
So you guys go out, we're open for you. We want your money.
Or when you clearly see at a bar that there's more than, I don't know, 7 taps. You walk up and you go, hey, what kind of beers do you have?
Just take a look.
Yeah.
The beers are when you walk in the bar.
They're written somewhere.
Yeah.
Ask for a beer.
I think every week we could probably just do a podcast, an entire week. We could do months worth of shows on just bar etiquette. But there's just a few things that drive me nuts. And those are just a couple. We could do this all day. I don't think I really want to. But I do want to go back to something that Derek mentioned, I believe, on last week's show, maybe a couple weeks ago. Same side sitters.
What's the thing?
Y'all make me absolutely sick.
Same people that sit in a single cab truck and the person sits in the middle seat next to the driver.
People do that.
Oh, you've never seen that?
Like, you know, yeah.
That's exactly it.
This girl is right in the middle seat.
Does he want to be close?
First of all, that's dangerous.
Yeah.
You don't have the, most of them don't have the over the shoulder strap. So that's sketchy.
How old are you, dude? And it's just a single cab truck, but for the most part, why doesn't have seatbelts at this point? So.
Yeah, it's just going to roll.
This is going to one longer road. Like,
yeah,
that's everything.
Yeah.
Triple S's, they're bad.
They're bad. I'm not a big fan of those. And I believe, Derek, I think you've mentioned this on the show. It could have been, you've done so many grinds my gears, and I'm just starting to recycle them, but these are just things that I've noticed recently. So thank you for all your hard work and your material, but I'm going to steal it all. If you bring a dog into the bar and it doesn't have one of those vests that have all the equipment on it, come on, dog. Hey, for real. For real. That ain't a service animal. You just got some weird attachments to your animal. It's all right to go out and hang out with real humans.
Now I go to the bar with a patio. There's plenty of them in this town. And they have their final dogs out there. You're an inside.
Don't bring your dog to a place where we serve food unless you need your dog in order to eat. You know what I'm saying? There are definitely people out there that need their dog for guidance. They need their dog for all sorts of actual support. So I just read the California law. What we are allowed to do as servers and bartenders, we are allowed to ask them, is this a service dog? What service does it provide? And we cannot ask any follow-up questions beyond that. And I had a lady today say comfort.
Not good enough for me. I'm sorry, if it's not like a legitimacy and not a dog for me, I don't want you in my bar.
And there's other reasons.
There are. Those are few and far between.
There are.
A service dog is actually used.
Yes.
That person usually get a wheelchair, too. You know,
if you bring in a French bulldog, that is not a service dog. And that happened to me today. It is not, a comfort dog is not a thing. So you're comfortable ass at your comfortable house, okay?
We actually have wooden seats. You're not going to be comfy here.
Yes. Take that comfortable dog home. It drives me crazy. Humans are disgusting. Dogs are barely cleaner. And they get hair everywhere. We don't need both. That's all I'm saying. I'm trying to eat some mac and cheese. I'm not trying to have your dog hair in my mac and cheese.
Actually, a bulldog that's just like...
Yeah.
And get these slabs going everywhere. My mouth breather.
And then you can ask me to bring in a bowl of water. How about you be responsible and bring your own damn bowl?
Actually, we're part of it. When you stay at home, you don't need your own bowl because you already
have one. Exactly. So take your comfort ass dog, your comfortable ass home. Okay? That's all I got to say.
We love dogs here. We do.
We do have a place. I'm not hating on dogs. I love dogs. I love petting them. I love them. All breeds. Even a chihuahua from time to time, I'll get down with
their little buggy eyes looking like you just did meth.
Anyway.
You are listening to 90.1 FM, Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. This is Talking About Practice, Chico's only locally produced sports talk radio show. We still do have that interview with Anna Wright coming up shortly, but before we can get to that right now, we're going to give my man, Sam Brand, a chance to shine. This is your place, buddy.
This is my place. I'm ready to go.
I'm ready to get our state update. Let's do it.
All right. It's time for our state update. We don't have any sports going on, but we do have some events going on in Chico. Like previously stated, we do have the comedy show with headliner Adam Ray. We have Jake Risley, one of my buddies, that's going to be a comedian over there. I do not have the pamphlet in front of me. I will actually have John talk about that more as we have the Adam Ray interview coming up. But we also have Thursday Night Markets in Chico every Thursday throughout the summer and into September. It's Thursday Night Markets in Chico, downtown Chico. So head on over to downtown Chico. Check that out. Some great local produce. Some nice events going on down there. Is this the new direction of my state update for the summer? We're just going to be talking about... Well, I actually thought about this. I really enjoy golfing. I'm going to be going golfing this year.
I'm going to get some updates on your golfing.
No. On the courses to go, like beautiful courses to go to throughout the North State. Yeah.
Okay, that's
it. Okay, so actually, I went to Bass Tampa down in Santa Cruz.
Oh, great course.
Yes, by Dr. Alistair McKenzie, creator of the course, a beautiful course running the coast of Santa Cruz. A little pricey, about $200 per round, but well worth it. Very maintained greens, fairways. If you get a chance, you're down in the Santa Cruz Bay Area or want to make a trip, it's one of the most prestigious courses. Well, it's but if you're in the Bay Area, it's a short drive.
Yeah.
So, like, I was in Santa Cruz, or Santa Clara, San Jose area. It took me 30 minutes to get over there. Not too bad. But, yeah, I kind of want to also talk about some great courses around the North State and kind of throughout the country. The good little highlight for
Tiger Butt.
For that. Oh, God, John. By the way, so Tiger actually had a 4-putt on 16. I got on in 2.
And he had a Masters win this year.
This is going to be you just talking about your experience golfing.
No, I was going to say how I actually beat Tiger on one hole.
So this is going to be about your experience.
No, it is not. It's not.
Okay. You want to go, should we start reliving my high school glory days next? Because I could do
what they're saying there.
They were great.
All right.
No. I scored 42 against which I had a pass.
Thank you, Matt, for that wonderful
new update right there.
We're updated was nothing.
All right. No, I have things that were updated. They just weren't.
To the Rats golf game. That's what we did.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. We got the news. I got a couple spots for y'all that are vital, that are important to your knowledge, because this one I found that was fantastic. This one brought to us by Texas. So wait, we got it. Yeah, because it's not good.
in any movie, if you ever see a drop range, you always have an idea of that's a jump, that's a ramp, I'm taking it.
Right.
Then you see that on the ramp when you're in your car.
Yeah.
You know, yes. Yeah. These men, two Texas men in Louisiana, decided that that's what they're going
to do. I would like to say before you finish your story, no one has ever seen a drawbridge going up and not thought about
that. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that. I needed that confidence because everyone does. I've never seen a drawbridge in person, but I know I would have that thought if it was presented in front of a drawbridge. However, these two Texas men decided it was their time to shine. So they're at this drawbridge in Louisiana, decide to lift up the guardrail and proceed to jump the bridge. However, he failed because he's not going to make that jump. If you got a pre-win, that's not going to happen. And unfortunately, these two men paid the ultimate price for the stupidity. Lost their lives. Try to jump a drawbridge. So no jump a drawbridge at all. There's a reason why there's a barrier down there for you not to jump.
They get close.
I don't know.
It doesn't say.
Unfortunately, they land on the road. They landed off to the road on the side. So
not so close. So bad angles.
Bad angles.
Bad angles.
Probably weight distribution comes into play too. I don't know. I don't jump cars. I don't know what goes into it. Now this one, I got to go for the storm because this one kind of hurts me a little. I've never been a storm clerk before, but I hear those jobs can be rather rough, especially if you're a late night storm clerk. I've talked to my guys over at 7-Eleven all the time late night, and we always have to deal with some of the most annoying customers and some pretty scary situations. There's one store clerk over in Portland, Oregon, had a guy come in with a hatchet in hand. That's scary. The guy with a hatchet in hand, they hand over all the money, and so on and so forth. The guy, though, came prepared with a gun. The store clerk drew a pull up, pulled out said gun, and pointed at the man with the hatchet. And the man with the hatchet tossed the hatchet and ran away. Is that correct? No. The store clerk was fired because he brought a gun into work with him.
Oh, it's his own gun.
His own gun.
Wow.
Yeah. So apparently they don't want you to bring your own guns and essentially most store. Most stores have the standard that if somebody comes in there, just give them all the money and avoid as little violence as possible. But I understand that you're fighting for your life right now. I would want to be able to defend myself if possible. But that works. Poor dude lost his job. So, just let's not have money, guys. Let's have the money and run right away. You know, but it ain't worth it. It ain't worth it whatsoever. Now, this one comes to you because it is Memorial Day. I have a hypothetical question for all of you. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Murph Challenge. It's a Murph Challenge that is brought up for the Memorial Day weekend, where essentially you have to do 100 push-ups, 200 squats. I'm sorry, 100 pull-ups, 200 push-ups, and 300 squats while doing a mile on either end of that. Now, my question to you is, do you think any of you would be able to do that in one day span?
No.
Not at all.
No.
No. Well, John Krasinski and Chris Pratt are saying that you, fools, should get into your Murph Challenge mode and try to attempt that.
So you're going to get one Murph Challenge, yeah.
You do 1 mile, followed by 100 pull-ups, okay? 200 push-ups.
Yep.
300 squats.
Do you know how insane 100 pull-ups is?
I can barely do 5.
First of all, I'm assuming there's no way they're doing 100 in a row. There's just, that's impossible.
They'll probably take them at break time.
It's going to
take about 40 minutes.
100 pull-ups in a day is, look, man, I work out fairly regularly, and pull-ups are really, really hard. If you're doing them the right way, that sounds absolutely insane to me.
Did you break it up in a quarter mile increments? That'd be possible.
How would you do that?
Well, I mean, just gotta break it up. If they don't want to break up the push-ups and the pull-ups.
Well, no, of course you do a quarter mile, then you do your push-ups. And then all the other stuff, you gotta break everything up into like equal amounts.
If you want to punish the Murphy Challenge, then sure, go for it. But if you want to, commemorate what the actual Murphy Challenge is for, created by Lieutenant Michael P. Murphy at the Scholarship Foundation back in 2018, has raised over $250,000 this past year alone. It really is just a way to commemorate the service member men and women in this country. And apparently that's something that they have to do themselves. So props to all those guys who can do it. Because I cannot. And that is the news, guys.
The news. Appreciate it. What else do we got? I mean, there is one thing I do want to kind of get your guys' opinion on. Donovan McNabb is still buying that he is a Hall of Famer, that he should be inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Donovan McNabb threw up in the fourth quarter in the middle of a huddle when Tino, because he was so nervous and anxious coming back against the Pats on a potentially game-winning drive, while Tino was playing on a reconstructed ankle that he broke 2 weeks ago. Hey, no. Conversation over. Get this dude out of here. Get Donovan McNabb out of here. Now, he did scramble for 14.
15 seconds and throw a ball about 60 yards in the air, which was insane. But you don't get into the Hall of Fame based on one play. And anyone who is putting on a cape for themselves to get into the Hall of Fame, let your work speak for itself and let other people put on that cape for you. Get out of here, Donovan McNabb. You know what really grinds my gears? Donovan McNabb.
And he can't get the Hall of Fame now. It's like impossible for him.
Really?
Yeah. It is. I mean, no chance. The reputation is gone.
Well, after I just burned him like that. Yeah.
No chance.
Yeah.
Poor Donovan.
What's the Masters? Yeah, we'll get those lines. A chance.
All right. Now, keep it moving along. I do have to say, this past weekend has been fantastic at the OR. I thought the racing thing.
Mm-hmm.
The 8500 happened on Sunday, along with the Monaco Grand Prix.
Yep. Big weekend.
Big weekend. Race fans out there. I, myself, got myself to Monaco Grand Prix because that's one of my favorite spectacles in sports. I've always wanted to go to that. I think if I ever have a chance, I'm going to go to Monaco to see that happen just because of the history behind it, the way that the track is happening all throughout the city, and here in the south of France, which I hear is a pretty amazing place to be. That being said, congrats to Lewis Hamilton on taking the pole and the victory, especially in regards to this weekend, too, when his know what position he held for the Team Mercedes, but Niki Lauda, the famed Formula 1 driver, passed away this past week at the age of 70. He was a really big person in the Mercedes team. Lewis Hamilton was very close with him, and everyone in the Formula 1 community was all felt this loss. So RIP to Niki Lauda, great driver. If you want to know more about him, there's a great movie out there, Rush, directed by Ron Howard with Chris Hemsworth. Into the Formula 1 world, especially that time and that battle between those two guys.
And what those dudes do is crazy. Can we talk about how crazy it is?
I mean, if I could be anything, I'd love to be a Formula 1 driver, but that is like, those are the pinnacle of driving right there.
Yeah.
You are. Your reflexes are so on point. Like, if you see an onboard of the Monaco Grand Prix,
it's
one of the
guys
with
a computer.
The steering wheel is a computer.
It's
pretty, yeah.
Yep. There's like, it looks like a tropical thing that they've been rocking the last couple of years. It's pretty crazy. Like, yeah.
It's game has changed much for the better. A lot of more safety regulations that come into play.
Shouts out to all the half black dudes just dominating right now. Appreciate you.
What's up? Nationality?
Lewis Hamilton is British.
He's British. So I was working the other day. We don't have the sound on, at the bar. We couldn't figure. I said French. I didn't know.
Yeah,
he looks French to me.
Yeah, he was.
He looks British to me, bro.
Thank you.
I know, probably got a little bit.
It looked like Trill, but a little darker, and that was right.
That's same bank account, too. So, ladies.
Another RIP goes out to Bill Buckner.
Yeah.
Now, I honestly gotta say, because I saw it happen on ESPN, they flashed it on there, and they did it so dirty. They gave him a good thing to say, Bill Buckner, fumbled that ball in game time.
How do you know
that's the man on it?
He just kind of says what he's done for.
He's known for his cameo on Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
That's brilliant.
Right there.
That's what you should be doing.
Yeah, that's what happened.
Also, shout out to Art Star.
I'm saying Art Star passed away. So I'm at this weekend.
I will say, like, regardless of the Art Star is one thing that happened, because I got a breaking news update on him dying, and I've said it before, another grind of my years is when somebody who is old and at the time is texting about that, we got breaking news, which is news.
News.
Art Star passed away.
Yeah.
He was
old. He was 70 old.
Yeah, he was over that time.
70 old.
Well,
what, in your opinion, then, constitutes breaking news?
There was a tsunami that took out half of this continent. Breaking news.
like
half a continent.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
That's going in.
If Ray Allen all of a sudden got a heart attack and died, that would be breaking news.
Something that shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what I got. So,
what?
Okay.
If it wasn't that.
Yeah, breaking news.
Yeah. In 96.
He's not dead.
No, but he just recently died.
Back off
with you. Brad, I've been listening to the show because I've been here the whole time, and you start off really strong. And I gotta tell you, ever since the North Sting update, it's been a steady decline into nowheresville. We talked about the Thursday night market for about 3 minutes. You explained the great produce they had. And then you began to tell us the story that no one cares about. You did better on a whole entire Wednesday.
Also, my sister Aaron wanted to let you know that Tiger missed the cut at the PGA Championship.
He did. Yeah.
He did.
He also won a Masters.
He missed the cut at the next tournament he played in.
Just saying, he won a Masters.
No, they do not have carts in that tournament. I was not going to ask that. I was going to ask if you could be paired with any golfer.